All my sins are forgiven. All my yesterdays are gone. How many thankful for that? We're glory. You love the Lord? Give Him praise this morning. Come on. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. All my hope is in Jesus. How about you? Hallelujah. So good to have our visitors with us this morning. Make them welcome. Let them know how much we love them. Thank God to come to worship with us this morning. Praise God. Praise God. My, there's a song that says, I like to feel like I feel what I'm feeling like I feel right now. I love that feeling, don't you? Amen. If you enjoy this, you're going to love heaven. You're going to fit right in. Because we're going to glorify and praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, amen. Good to see each and every one of you. Hope that you've had a wonderful week. I just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. I love the atmosphere of praise and worship that is in this sanctuary this morning. And I ask you to continue that frame of mind. Amen. That the Lord speak to your hearts this morning. Go with me to the book of St. Mark. We're going to go to the 9th chapter as we take our message text this morning, and then we may go back to the Old Testament just for some reference. Amen. Let's go to Matthew first. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Be ready. Be instant in season. Flipping when the preacher's up. Matthew 9. Let's read this account. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Man, when I thoroughly confuse you, raise your hand. Okay. If you're there, say praise the Lord. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, everybody say 12 years, 12 years. Came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your Spirit that we feel, for the anointing and the presence, God, that is in this place. God, I ask you to touch and to anoint our hearts. Father, I ask you, God, to anoint these lips of clay this morning. Nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us, God. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we're thankful to those who've gathered here today. And Father, I pray you just open up that window of heaven, pour out of your Spirit today. God, we know that you're aware and see each and every need this morning, God, and we thank you for the needs and the prayers that you've already answered today. And we do remember so many who are sick and suffering. Father, we pray, God, for a special healing on their account. God, again, we just ask, God, the leadership of the Holy Ghost this morning. We be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them how much you love them. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many knows it's all about love? God is love. All right, now quit looking at your neighbor and look to the front. All right. Praise God. Amen. This morning I want to entitle this message, Touching the Hem. Touching the Hem. There are a lot of wonderful and remarkable stories of healing, deliverance in the Word of God. And I love them all. But this one holds a very special place in my heart and in my mind as I grew up in church and remembering the many, many times that I heard the sermon preached about the woman with the issue of blood. There are several characteristics that she portrayed here, and so many times we dwell on those. And the characteristics are, first of all, is her condition. Her condition was one that doctors seemed that could not help. How many knows that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God? 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. Man, and that's where we need to put our faith. As Sister Penny said, all our hope is in Him. The other condition is the way that she approached Jesus. Now, some would say she heard that Jesus was in the neighborhood. We know that preceding this particular account, we know that Jesus had traveled over the sea into the city of the Gadarenes, and you know what happened there. And when he had returned, the Bible says there was a great multitude of folk waiting on him, amen, to receive something from Jesus, amen. And I And I'm acquainted with that. I know that we can get a big crowd ready to receive something from Jesus. But I wonder sometimes if we could gather a big crowd willing to give something to Jesus. Amen. To give Him praise, to give Him honor, and to give Him glory. But nevertheless, there was a multitude of people there. And this is where that He encounters the woman with the issue of blood. Let's look at some of the things that persuaded this woman with this, basically what I refer to as a terminal condition, because if the blood was not able to stay or to quit, then she would not have been able to survive very many more years. But I think it was her faith, probably, that drove her to the point of realizing that all of her hope was in Jesus. That was her last hope, that she had tried doctors, and the Bible even says that she was no better, in fact, even grew worse. I believe that she exhibited determination. Many of us, I think, we give up after the first prayer and we don't see instant results. Sometimes we think God don't love us. Sometimes we think God's away somewhere and He can't hear us, or we've done something, He's not going to give us the petitions of our prayer. But she was determined. The first thing she saw was an obstacle. Amen. Many of us will quit the very first obstacle that we see, but how many know she pressed through? When's the last time you pressed through in your prayer closet? When's the last time you pressed through, amen, to get in touch with God? Amen, to have Him to bless and anoint the situation that you are bringing for Him. But she was determined, and she would not be deterred in any way. She exhibited perseverance. Amen. In fact, if you don't succeed the first time, how many knows you try again? Amen. And I believe God honors that. And finally, I believe that has been brought out in this particular message, she exhibited humbleness. Many times we say, you know, she probably felt herself so unworthy that she was not wanting to confront Jesus or to tap Him on the shoulder, but yet if she could just kind of press through the crowd, and even if she had to crawl on hands and knees to touch, I'm not worthy to touch Him anywhere except the hem of His garment, then I believe with all of my faith that I shall be made whole. This morning I want to suggest something to you that may conflict with that particular opinion, if you would. And maybe it was. Maybe it was because she thought herself unworthy. Maybe it was because that she didn't want to confront Jesus face to face. But if I could just humbly reach through the crowd, and Jesus turned and said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." So I know she exhibited faith. But we find that Jesus had just returned from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And in the particular neighborhood where He was preaching was of Jewish descent. I would convey to you, most likely this woman was of Jewish heritage. Most likely. Being around the Sea of Galilee. And may I also suggest to you that being a Jewish person or a Jewish woman, she was somewhat, if not very, familiar with the Mosaic Law and the Jewish things of God's Word, His precept, His commandments, His statutes, and all of those things that we find in the Mosaic Law. And maybe it was her direct objective to touch the hem of His garment. Not because she felt unworthy to touch in anywhere else, but she had seen something, may I project to you, in the Mosaic Law that led her to believe that there was some obedience, amen, that would be blessed if she obeyed the Word of God. The Bible tells us, and let's go over right now, if we could, to the book of Numbers, chapter number 15. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 37, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," more times than not, when the Lord spake to Moses saying, and He recorded this, this was something of great importance. I don't believe that God just called Moses up to have a
casual acquaintance with Him. So many times in the Old Testament, we started off by, "And the Lord spoke to Moses saying," "And the Lord spoke to Joshua saying," "And the Lord spoke to Noah saying." When God speaks, amen, how many knows we need to listen? And God said, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." If you would flip over to Deuteronomy in the 22nd chapter, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself." Would you agree with me this morning that Jesus, the Son of God, the virgin birth, the natural father of Joseph, was of the house and lineage of David, including his genealogy to be Jewish and Israelite? It is most likely that the apparel that Jesus was wearing that day included an outer garment, which was four corners. And on these four corners, to be more explicit with the Hebrew definition, the hem was in fact tassels. You can read Bible history, and on each of the four corners, there was these tassels tied with blue ribbon. One scholar went very deep into the Bible history and surmised that, and made the suggestion that every one of those blue cords represented one of the commandments or ordinances or precepts of God. And there were some 600, over 600 if you read the Mosaic Law. Nevertheless, don't say Brother Eddie said that. That's what some scholar wrote. It's very possible. But the thing is, it was a direct order from God. And as long as you wear them, and as long as you see them, not only did they have the ribbons on the back, but they had the ribbons on the front. Four corners. We often say the four corners of the world. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. That just means it's completely covered. Amen. And when they walked, they could see the tassels in front, and they could also let people see the tassels in back. How many knows that God is with us wherever we go? How many is thankful for His protecting power? How many is thankful that we can walk in the newness of life, amen, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, obedient to the statutes of God, and always having a remembrance in our spirit, amen, that we belong to God, and we are God's people. As often and as long as you wear them, you'll know that it was a reminder. Someone said a reminder to be holy unto God. Then they said that over time, this particular outer garment that the Jewish men wore, and you think about it, everywhere they went, that was a reminder. How many would like for everywhere that you go, everywhere you are, it's a reminder that I am a child of God. I am an heir and a joint heir. Praise God. I'm glad, amen, to be a child of God. It doesn't offend me to be called a Christian, amen. I know that's not politically correct, but I'm a Christian not because of me, but because of Him that is within me. Not because I did anything, but because He did everything. Praise God. Are you thankful to be a child of God this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And over the period of time, it says that this particular outer garment with the four tassels grew to become a covering. You might want to refer to it as a prayer shawl. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Keith, I love you. Can I remind you of something? Wherever you go, wherever journey takes you, amen, there is a covering. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for the covering of the Holy Spirit of God? Glory to God. That'll comfort us. That'll help us. That'll heal us. That'll strengthen us. That'll remind us, amen, of who we serve. Amen. That'll remind us of God's holy and precious Word. I'm so thankful that we can be reminded of the Word of God. So many times I have to refer to the Word of God, and it's in there to tell us exactly that God will be with us. He will not put more on us than we're able. He will make a way even when there is no way. So this became a type of prayer shawl. And I happened to think, is it possible that this lady with the issue of blood got her scroll out? Come on. Her Bible. Can I remind you, when everybody else tells you there's no hope, when that life-saving device that's supposed to go into your son hasn't arrived yet, can I remind you to get in God's Word? When people say you're worthless, when people say you can't, when people say you're no good, when people say you'll never change, can I remind you to get God's Word out, amen, and begin to search the Scriptures and begin to know what God has promised us and what He will do for us. Oh, praise God. He is a rewarder of our faith. Could it be possible that she got the scroll out? And she was scrolling through Numbers. You know, in the cartoon thing, there's a light bulb. I need to change mine. Mine will not brighten over 40 watts. I need one of them 75 or 100 watts. Sometimes mine's a little dim, and I have to strain to get it to brighten up. Yeah, three of you is already with me. You young folks have no idea what I'm talking about. When you have to grimace and make a face to think of something. It's in there. Right on the tip of my tongue. But for the life of me, I can't think of it. Could it be a spiritual light bulb went off in her head when she scrolled down and found Numbers 15, 37, and 40? And she realized that God, when He is speaking, is not just speaking, amen, for the words to go into the air. It means something when God speaks. Glory to God. When God speaks to you, it means something. When God pricks your heart, there is a reason. When God says, don't you do it, there is a reason behind it. When God says, get up and go, why do you say, where, God? Just get up and go. Because God has a reason every time He speaks to us. Could it be she was scrolling? She read there. You know how it is when you're sinking in despair. And as the song says, you think all hope is gone. You're looking for a ray of light anywhere. You're looking for somebody to give you an encouraging word. You're listening for a song that'll suddenly make you think, praise God, there's hope. Or a message, or a revival, or you're looking for something. Amen. And you're just almost, as the song says, sinking in despair. Finally, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but every once in a while, the blessed word of God seems like it goes off like a neon sign. Amen. And maybe I've read it before, but the timing maybe was not right for that particular time. But now it's a living word, and now it just kind of brightens up like a neon sign. That's exactly what I need to hear. Maybe she's reading down there, and she says, "Shall be unto you for a fringe or a tassel, that you may look upon it and remember." Glory to God. Can I suggest to you, the next time you're facing an almost insurmountable, impossible situation in your life, can you get a hold of that spiritual tassel and remember what God has already brought you through? How many times God has already put a door where there was no door? The many times that God has already healed your body. He's already touched you. He's already anointed you. And if He did it before, how many knows He'll do it again? He's still able. Glory to God. Maybe she read, "Oh, as a remembrance." Amen. Let me tell you, when all else fails, get in the Word of God. Get in His promises. Get to know that familiarity of the Word of God as it speaks to our heart and as it speaks to the circumstance. I know I told you on a Tuesday night, Kevin was in Eggleston Hospital not long after his birth, after they had done so many things. And I was ready to go back over there Wednesday morning. When I got back over there Wednesday morning, I didn't know that three doctors was going to have me in the consultation room. But God did. That's the reason God let my Bible open to 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. And it simply said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Can I tell you, I loved it, I appreciated it, but I had no idea the depth of that word until Wednesday morning, when three doctors pulled me into the consultation room and said, "We want to tell you, Mr. Allen, that we only think that your son has at best a 50% chance of living." And I think they was expecting me to absolutely break down, begin to cry, holler, or say, and I could not do nothing but have an overwhelming sense of peace that came over me. "Brother Eddie, how can you have peace when three doctors told you your son might live?" It's because what God told me on Tuesday night before they told me on Wednesday morning that my faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of a never-failing God. Maybe she saw that. So maybe all along, it was her determination. It was her objective. It was her destiny to touch the promise of God. Well, Brother, I thought you said it was the hymn. You got to read the Greek-Hebrew definition. The hymn was a tassel. Man, the tassel was there for a reason. The tassel was there because God said, "Put it there." Amen. Come on. Wasn't for decoration. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, Brother Eddie. You need to preach. Don't meddle. I got to meddle a little bit. Glory to God. The padded pews that you're sitting on. The carpeted floor that we walk on. Padded altar. My Lord. You come up here and go to sleep. So soft. Man. The monitors. The sound system. It's not here for your enjoyment. Not mine. Every board, every part of carpet, every musical instrument, everything here is for the honor and glory of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's all about Him, never about us. So I don't think that it was the fashion of the day as they walked around and said, "Look at his pretty tassels." There have been some of us. These tassels are too short. His tassel ain't covering his ankles. That's not the right shade of blue. Somebody needs to tell him. Yeah, somebody. No. Those tassels was meant for every time you see them, that is the promise of God. Glory to God. Can I project to you? Maybe this woman knew exactly what she was doing. Glory to God. I don't believe that was the only part that she could touch. I believe that was her objective. I believe that she left the house saying, if I can get to touch the hem of his garment or the tassel of his prayer shawl, I will be made whole. I know that God's promise is forever. I know God's promise is real. That's the reason she said, I will not be detained. Man, I have to crawl. Are we willing to crawl to touch the promise of God? Are we willing to push through the crowd to touch the promise of God? Are we willing to endure ridicule? Look at that woman. What she thinks she's doing? Don't she know she's interrupting the service of God? There comes a time, amen, when you have to put spiritual blinders on. And I'm not watching my brother and I'm not watching my sister. I'm looking for the tassel of the promise of God. I need him. I need him. I will not be swayed. I will not be interfered with. I'm going to make it. If I have to crawl on my hands and knees, because I know when I touch the promise of God, hallelujah, I know when I touch the promise that I am, not I was, not I will be, but I am God. When I touch the I am God, I'm going to receive the effectual moving of the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, but many of us are turned away by the hardship of trying to reach him. The crowd that is between us and him. Amen. But not this woman. Anybody in here ever given blood? Voluntarily, I mean. Oh, yeah. My wife shot me. No. No, I mean offer. Amen. Yeah. I loved my brother. I used to want to cover him with the blood. Not the saving grace kind. But you've given. And you know, they tell you, don't just jump up and go drink you some juice and eat you something because you're a little weak. Imagine 12 years of a flowing of blood that the Bible said it would not stay. Many say that's the reason she had to crawl. Many say that's the reason it took the every last ounce of energy that she had to get to Jesus. Whatever the case was, she knew that was her last hope. Come on. Have you been there? Have you been there when you tried everything else? I mean, you have absolutely depleted everything you know to do, and it just gets worse. Just gets worse. And finally, that light bulb comes off and says, you know what? I just guess I need to give it to Jesus. In the verbiage of the millennials, duh. Come on, brother. I ain't up with all these things. They do that, and I say, I love you too. OMGs, that's something you put on food to make it last longer. I'm still texting out every single letter in the Word. Yeah. Because I think every single letter in the Word is important. I don't want to change a dot. And I don't want to change a tittle. Amen. But she saw it. The Word. It's obedience. It's faith. Can I tell you, it's not the tassel. That's not where the healing came. Because Jesus didn't turn around and say, "Lady, or woman, my tassel has healed you." He said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Glory to God. You got faith to go to the Word when nothing else works. You got faith to go to the promises of God. And that's what it was. Come on. Never forget the promises of God. Amen. There's a reason the Bible says, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith. Amen. Pour a bucket of oil on you without the faith, and it won't do no good. But he said, "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole." Glory to God. Can I tell you, I love that story. I love her determination. I love her mindset. I even love referencing how that the tassels came into being. But can I tell you, as I was preparing and praying for that, God just sort of hit me. And I see a type and shadow there. I don't think God does anything by happenstance or circumstance. I think everything He does, everything He says has a meaning. And we need to understand and seek God. If you don't understand, seek God. If you like wisdom, ask of God. Lord, illuminate this for me. How does it apply to me? And I saw this type and shadow. And I thought about the 12 years of the blood that was leaving her body, the weakness, all the things that accompany that. You know, if you ever get in a weakened condition, you don't feel like doing nothing. You know, maybe her appetite wasn't right. I don't know. Maybe it affected her weight. Maybe it affected everything. I don't know. After 12 years of that suffering, I can see that. But something transformed after she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus when she was persistent enough to make it. And I saw a type and shadow. I saw the walk that we have before we know Jesus. And how we do any and everything to feel that longing that is within our life. Before we're acquainted with Jesus, before we're filled with His Spirit, before we come to an altar of repentance with a broken and contrite spirit and we lay it all on the altar of the Lord. How we make excuse for our life. How we make excuse for the things that we endure and the things that we love in life. But all that is those 12 long years of not getting any better. We were talking the other day how that when tragedy seems to take place in the world, people seemingly then want to turn to God. And then when the tragedy subsides or is of yesterday's news, then it's a sigh of relief and we go back to our normal routine. And after 12 years of hearing doctors say, "I can't do anything. This is all I can do. Try this, try that, do this, do that." Oh, she grew worse. But something miraculous happened when she touched the hem of His garment. Get with me in the spiritual realm. I fought, tried to make my life better by not doing certain things, doing certain things, trying to live according to somebody else's expectation. But for all of that time, I grew spiritually worse. For all of the physical things that I was trying to do to make myself worthy, amen, to inherit the kingdom of God. But when I realized that nothing I could do physically was going to change my life spiritually, a crawl to the altar, if not more than just a touch, the hem of His garment spiritually. Touch the promise of God. Touch the living Word of God. The Word of God is not just limited to the leather-bound books that we read. If you read John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. Before you was, the Word was. And the Word was with God. And the Word was made God. That Word has been around forever. It will be around forever. You want deliverance? You reach and touch the Word of God. The promise, the anointing, the commandments of Almighty God. And God will bless and anoint you. Hallelujah. So I'd see a type of a spiritual blood transfusion. The blood, the natural blood that this lady finally got, the Bible said it stayed. That is a type and shadow of the vile, the sinful, the iniquities that was in this body when I came, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ in a broken and contrite spirit with a repentant heart. That old life stayed. And there came a spiritual blood transfusion. How many knows what I'm talking about? The blood, glory to God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. That blood now sustains me. That blood has transformed me. I'm not what I used to be, thank God. But because that faith has made thee whole. You have to have faith to believe that He is. You have to have faith to believe that He will. She accessed a new bloodline. Glory to God. I think I'm A positive. I'm not positive, I'm A positive. But I don't think there's no negative in me. So it must be positive. I think I'm A positive. But can I tell you, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood, amen, that now flows through my body, that sanctifying, sin-forgiving, righteous, redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, amen, is accessible for each and every one of us. If we can just touch the hem, touch that spiritual part of that promise, that Word of God, it'll change your life forever. Glory to God. Then you'll have a testimony. I thought about the testimony. Maybe the same lady went back to some of them doctors. I just got to tell what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Overcomers by your testimony. Maybe she goes back in. And they look at her sort of wild-eyed. Well, I wasn't expecting to see you standing up anyway. Yeah, but you know what? I touched the hem of His garment.
Oh, yes.
I found Jesus. I found Jesus when you said nothing else would work. Found Jesus when you were preparing to bury me. Glory to God. And I'm alive and well today to tell you what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. Would the music come? Would the congregation stand? If you've not had this spiritual blood transfusion that was made accessible to us by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, can you do the blood that Jesus shed for me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This altar is open. Are you thankful for the blood? Are you thankful for the sacrifice? Just worship the Lord. If you're born again, if you're saved, give Him praise. If you're uncertain, you need to be in the altar. If you're unsure, if you're tired, struggling, if you're tired of everything failing in your life, I tell you, the blood will make a change in your life. It'll never lose its power. Sing when you get ready. Praise God.
It reaches.
Oh, yes, it reaches.
To the highest mountain.
Highest mountain.
It flows.
Thank God it flows. In the valley,
oh, the blood that gives me strength from day
every day
to day.
It some of you elders gather around, right? It'll never lose its power. Oh, sing it. Oh, yes,
you know it reaches.
Gives me strength.